written a book called Imtiaz Suleiman and the Gift of the Givers, A Mercy to All. So how do you survive as a giver? And how do you get businesses to open their bank accounts when times are so tough? Well, to discuss, we're now joined by Imtiaz Suleiman. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Francis.
So this was so interesting because it's the first time I've been able to really understand where you come from. Obviously, you're in the news a lot. So I see your family comes from Gujarat. You had this entrepreneurial modeling, but you saw there was a generous side as well. So just tell me a little bit about the childhood context that molded you.
The family is a very simple family that came from India, 3 to 4 generations ago. Great-grandfather came to South Africa. My grandfather was born here. My father was born here. And even Indian people, if there's a family business, most of us continue in the family business. Mm. And my father took over. He stood with his father in the shop, and his father was with the grandfather. And I was with my father, that kind of issue. But what was interesting is our customers were mostly poor Afrikaner people and black people in where we were in Potchefstroom. We come from Potchefstroom. Mm. And it was a system that was not cash. It was always an account. But the compassionate part would come when a man would come and say, you know what, I don't have enough money, but I got so much to pay. And my grandfather and father would say, it's okay, you can take the stuff. And then the same man would come a little later and say, you know what, I got a funeral in the family, I owe you for one and number two, but I need money for the funeral, and they would give for the funeral also. So it was that kind of compassion that gave us a lot of customers, and it wasn't a business, it was a family. Everybody became a friend. You knew by his nickname, you knew how many children he had, where he came from, what he did. So that's how it started off.
And I guess it's a mini model of what people are saying on a big level, that you create goodwill in the community by being a business with a heart.
Well, goodwill is one of the key things of the organization. We carry the goodwill of South Africa and the goodwill of Africa wherever we go. Mm-hmm. And you always get a sentiment. The first thing they will say, we knew South Africa will not let us down. It's a general statement because, of course, the mission that it's going, it's about the goodwill of people across race, across religion, across class, and it's the goodness of people that makes these missions work.
Okay, so Gift of the Givers, you talk about your first humanitarian project in Mozambique, I think it was. Explain how it snowballed after that, because you've covered tsunamis, you've been all over Africa, you've been everywhere, basically.
I met a religious teacher in 92, but this is a business program, so I won't go into the details. He just said, form the organization. It's an instruction for you for the rest of your life. And he told me it'll get big. But in 92, when he told me, I didn't really envisage what he was talking about. Mm. I thought maybe one project now and then in between some work, to the point that in 94, I had to close my surgery. I had a choice between my private practice and this. But every time I met him, he said it'll get bigger. And by the time the tsunami came, I understood what this man was talking about. That this thing is not only a disaster response agency. We have 21 different categories of projects. Entrepreneurship is part of them. Bursaries, education, water wells, agriculture, sustainability. There's a whole range of things that happen. And it's more spiritual. Let's put it this way. Mm. It's a more spiritual instruction. And you feel the spiritual dimensions coming through everything that you do. The goodwill, the generosity, the compassion, the service to people. Everything comes through that.
So you can do it because it has meaning for you. Just give us a taste of what you've seen. And it's horrible. But what is the worst you've seen, perhaps?
There's terrible than most of the missions I've seen. But let's take a case in Somalia. There's people walk 400 kilometers because of famine. On the way, people die because they're too tired or they're too hungry. Mm. You get to a place, it's completely broken down by war. Remember, it's 21 years of war. Everybody's leaving the country. We are coming into the country. We set up broken down buildings as a medical center. You see a parent and you see a child. We ask a 7-year-old child, where's the rest of the family? The 7-year-old child says, we were walking. My father was very tired. My brother was very tired. They were thirsty and hungry. We left them on the way. They probably did. And not one story, several stories like this. So when we go in, we start saving the lives of children. In Niger, when you find the parents come, they only bring the child for treatment. Everybody else doesn't come for treatment. Why? Because 5 children, they are dying of starvation in the house. So they only bring the kids for treatment and nothing else. And when you look at the kid and you do this, you don't even treat the child. You say, your kid is fine. Leave us alone because we need to save the other kids that are dying. Sure. And they will give you a big smile and walk away.
Does this still appeal to business right now? We know we're in this tight economy. You need the donations to come in. You need doctors, a whole lot of people to give up their time to come with you. You need coordination staff. Is that appeal working? Is it getting harder?
We don't appeal. That's the best part of it all. People, the media travels with us. They know what we do. And South Africans are very Ubuntu driven. They feel the compassion. You know, they show the compassion. They feel the pain of people in this country and outside the country. And you would find that each year, the greater the depression and the economic crisis, the more support we get. Mm. It's incredible. You know, and every year the figures get bigger, both in terms of cash and in terms of client supplies coming in.
This is a business show, and I think it's actually an opportunity to mention any businesses you want to, or is it more individuals? Is it just from all over?
You mean you don't mind mentioning the names?
I don't mind, because I think it's a good time to say who's being generous right now.
Unilever. Unilever gives us between 15 and 20 million rand worth of supplies a year. There's not a day our trucks don't pick up 20 to 25 pallets of supplies from them. In fact, they flood us to the point we can't even cope the way the stuff comes in. They've been very generous to us. You know, I mean, nobody can compare what Unilever. Of course, Nestle has been supporting us now in coming to the party. And there are other companies. Absa supported us, you know, Standard Bank to some extent. But mostly it comes from ordinary people. And most of our donations are from ordinary people, 5 rand, 50 rand, 100 rand. It's volume. And people feel for it in volume.
So South Africans are
It's South Africans are behind us. It's the whole country as a whole.
Well, my final question, and it's so interesting we're talking today, because I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, there's a lot of criticism about Band Aid 30, Bob Geldof, the musicians who are doing something for West Africa. They're not using West African bands. Just a lot of criticism that it's patronizing about Africa. And at least it's something, I guess. And I want to ask you, how do ordinary people start? What do you think is the best way of giving when we're in this world where the needs are overwhelming?
Start with those next to you. People always trying to find something further away. Giving is about your own personality. It's not about somebody far away. It's about you. Mm-hmm. You have to find that compassion within yourself to say, okay, I don't have much, but I have half a loaf of bread. My neighbor next door got no bread. So let me give him some of my slices. And that's, I'll give you an example again in Niger. When we gave people food, it ran out eventually. And when they went out, those who received took from their share and gave to others who did not get anything. Mm-hmm. But remember the context. 9 months of famine, no food in the house, no agriculture, locusts eat the crops, no drought, no water. They don't know who's coming next. In that context, they took and they shared and they gave the neighbor, not knowing they have food for their kids by the next 5 days. That same context applies in South Africa and all over the world. You consider yourself, but you look at your fellow man immediately, not 5 months later.
What a sad but beautiful story to end off with. Thank you so much. That was Imtiaz Solomon, the founder and head of Gift of the Gift.